fish, 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 fishing. I've gone fishing, hook, sinker, and line. I said fish, 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 fishing. Boy, I'm going fishing just to ease my mind.
There it is again. Now, people say, I had several people at the store, they said, well, it's different having Frank back on the radio. He has a unique take on things. And I went, yes, that's probably the nicest description of me I've ever heard. But what we've been going to try and do is today get into spoons. Now, one thing I'm going to mention about fishing is over the last week, I've had conversations with different people, you know, coming in to buy tackle and stuff, and they're all lamenting, you know, and these are guys in their mid-60s, 70, about that sports thing they didn't really get a chance to try and see if they could excel in it, whether it was baseball or football or whatever it was. And in one case, their parents didn't want them to do it because they thought it was too dangerous. But they've never gotten over the fact they never had a shot to get good at it. Well, here's the one cool thing about fishing. You can be let's say 6 years old to 80, 90 years old, and you can actually get good at this. You can actually step up and excel. To the point, if you want to fish tournaments or whatever else you want to do, you can actually work yourself up. And it doesn't have an age limit, really, because you can pick how much effort, stress you want to put into this. A little bit, hanging out in the boat, just throwing a lure, coming back, really get into it. Or, you know, if you don't want to get into the tournament level of stuff, you can, you know, perfect bait fishing, you know, throwing out a chunk of shrimp or a piece of fish or whatever it might be. But people say, well, how can you get better at fishing bait? Many different ways. You can actually understand that there's no perfect one bait. Just because you had one really good day throwing shrimp doesn't mean you should throw shrimp every time you go out. I had a great day, and I was fishing white bait. Caught more fish than I ever caught before. That doesn't mean it's the perfect bait. What it does mean is the perfect bait for that day, those water conditions, that temperature. So when you're thinking about the perfect bait, if you change that bait during the course of the year as the weather conditions, spawning, non-spawning, all these things come into play, understanding what is the best bait for that time of year, you will catch a lot more fish. It goes back to what I always say. The more inconsistently you fish, the more consistently you will catch. Makes no sense.
Well, here's a good point. I like that. There's also this thing going around on the internet lately. It says there's a difference between being a fisherman and standing like an idiot on the shore. And a lot of that has to do with knowledge, you know, learning how to fish.
Yeah, and it's
instead of drowning a shrimp, you know.
A lot of it's just experimentation. So many people are so shocked when I say, okay, you got two people here. And if I got one guy going out fishing, I say, do you use one or two rods? And if they say two, I say, okay, you fish lures or bait or some combination? No, I like fishing bait. So one of your rods should have a sinker on it, throw it out there with a sinker on, and the other one should have a bobber or some type of float, popping cork, or whatever. Let's break fish down into two types, bottom feeders and middle top feeders. And that really applies to freshwater, saltwater, and this ridiculous concept of brackish water. Now, you got fish out there that love eating off the bottom. Their face is done that way. Look at a redfish. His mouth is way down on the bottom. Now you look at a trout, the front of his face opens up. Now, trout can feed off the bottom. They pick up crab, shrimp, whatever off the bottom, but they really prefer to have things in front of them or even above them. Where their mouth is to their eyes, it's the easiest way for them to feed. With a redfish, in front of them or below them makes them much better middle bottom, and then you have the fish that are middle top. So having a bait in each place increases your odds by, you know, double of catching a fish, right?
Right, and add like tarpon to that. Their mouth faces upward.
Yeah.
So they're not going to pick up a piece of shrimp on the bottom. Maybe not, but likely not.
Likely not. They're more, and I misspoke before, and it does happen. What I meant to say was middle down, middle up. Those are the two ways I would describe all fish. Every fish on the planet, freshwater, saltwater, you name it, you got fish that feed in front of them or up better. You got fish that feed in front of them or down better. And so if you have a bait in two different places, your odds go up hugely that you're actually going to catch a fish. Now, getting into species and targeting, that's a whole different subject, but for just generalized fishing. But I want to get into spoons today. Spoons have been around forever, since the first guy looked and somehow or another tied a spoon on to the end of his line and threw it out there and caught a fish with it.
Well, and that's kind of where spoons came from. They took a dinner spoon or a teaspoon or something like that, and I should not tell the story that I did to my grandmother. She had these wonderful willow-shaped spoons,
Yeah. You
know, teaspoons, and they were silver. And I grabbed one and cut the stem off and drilled a hole and pounded a little bit with a hammer. It made a great spoon, but and got me in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. Yeah, that would have been. But from my understanding, the very first one was somebody drilled a hole in both ends of a spoon with the handle and everything on it and put a hook on the end of it and started throwing it and reeling it in and caught fish with it, and then it exploded from there. Go back to the story of the original Hedden. He was sitting by a pond whittling and whittled something in the rough shape of a frog. And his buddy showed up. You know, he's waiting on his friend to come. And his buddy shows up. He whips it out in the water just to get rid of it. He's just throwing it away because it was just a rough frog-type thing. And a fish came up and hit it. And he went, oh, my God. And that started him into manufacturing lures, which led to amazing industries and all that. But if you're going to speak of two spoons that really kind of anybody should recognize the name, it would be the Johnson Sprite and Eppinger's Daredevil. Now, here's, RJ, a Sprite and a Daredevil. What's the difference?
Well, the Daredevil's painted to begin with. It's black. I mean, it's red, white, and red.
Yeah.
The shapes are pretty similar.
Pretty much almost 98% identical.
Yeah, pretty much 98%.
You don't ever think of that.
Yeah, that's right. As I look at, I could take that Sprite and paint it, and I'd have a Daredevil.
Oh, and they make those. I have them in the store, red and white. Uh-huh. Now, they use a slightly different shade of red, but the white's very similar.
Same thing with the stripe cone lengthwise?
Yeah, they're pretty much. They got a little different curve to the stripe on the Johnson compared to the Eppinger because of legal reasons.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But legal reasons, what, 15%?
Something like that.
It's not much. People, I invented those cool rod racks at the store, you know? And so you've got a center rack supported up. It's very easy to put up. They're simple to build, hold a tremendous amount of rods, but it wasn't enough for what I wanted to do. So I put doors on them. So now I have six rows of rods where I only had two rows before. And people always say, well, you should patent that. Well, that's $12,000, $15,000. And between large American corporations and Chinese corporations and everybody else on the planet, all they do is watch the patent office to see what goes in there. And then by the time you get your patent, they've already produced them, send them out, and they're selling them if it's any good idea. So I don't see the benefit. But with these, nobody realizes the main difference between a Johnson Sprite and an Eppinger Daredevil is the paint.
It's the paint, right.
It's just the paint. Now, on the Daredevil, it does not have a little teaser end on it, does it? It's just a treble hook.
And the Sprite does have a teaser on it.
Now, where big controversies with the Sprite, bare treble hook, the little teaser tab, or the teaser skirt. And so many people swear that without that little orange oval tab stuck by the treble hook, it catches a lot less fish. And for a while, Johnson was selling those tabs separately. You could buy them to put on their spoons or other people's spoons.
Put on your Daredevil, right?
Right. You could add that tab to almost anything. But that's the other major difference. The Sprite comes with a little orange teaser tab. And if you want the skirt on it, you take the treble hook off the same way you would take a key off a key ring. You know, where you got to open up the key ring and then run the hook, the key around through it to get it off. And you put the little skirt on. Now it's slotted. One end of the skirt is a solid little plastic tube, and the other end has slits in it. You put the slotted end down so it goes and hangs between the arms of the treble hook. So the solid end goes up, the skirted end goes down. There's no reason you couldn't do it the other way, though. That would give it a whole different look and a whole different action. What I try and tell people, whether we're rigging spoons or soft plastics, you need to learn how to do it correctly. Get it so you understand this is the perfect way to do this, and then learn to mess it up so it catches more fish. If you only do stuff one way, that way has to work all the time. And let's go back to you have to be inconsistent to be consistent.
Well, and to go along with that thing with the skirt, I mean, if you bought a hula popper or any one of those top order lures that had the skirts on them, the first thing you do is take the skirt off and put it on backwards. So it would stick out in the water all the time. And when the lure was moving through the water, it didn't fold up and become a straight line.
And you can do the exact same thing to that little skirt teaser on the Sprite simply by putting it on wrong, which is backwards.
Right.
Actually, it enhances it and creates a different cavitation in the water. And that actually could bring you to a whole different level of bite. Now, these two spoons being pretty much identical, except one's got teasers and skirts and the other's got a red and white paint job, is one for freshwater and one for saltwater?
Well, I've used them in both and have been successful in either or. I know that the Daredevil, I think, was originally for freshwater.
They both were.
Yeah, it was focused on freshwater fish, bass, pike.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the selling point of the red and white, is that
yep.
was attracting to those freshwater fish.
But Sprite started out as a freshwater lure also.
Uh-huh.
Now, for some reason or other, the Johnson Sprite was able to cross over and become a saltwater lure, where the Daredevil, in people's mind, is a freshwater lure. And it's only in people's minds. I mean, from the 1970s through 2000, redhead white body lures were the number one selling lures. They still work. They're still very, very effective, but they're not fashionable. That's what your dad or your grandpa caught fish with.
Right.
So when you're coming up, you got to have something different. But the red and white pattern was probably the number one for 40 years. The number one saltwater combination pattern, red and white. And it still works today. So while they're technically both freshwater and saltwater lures, in people's minds, because the people who sell that Daredevil are primarily in the Midwest, a little bit in Northeast, but always inland. The saltwater shops don't carry them. So in their mind, that's a freshwater bait. But they're really both the same thing. I enjoy throwing both of them. Now, the ones we're talking about have a hole at one end and a single treble hook on the back end. And the Sprite and the Daredevil are wide body spoons. They're very thick width-wise. They're not very thin. They're not very thick. How would you describe that? The metal is not real thick, but it's fairly heavy, half ounce, quarter ounce, eighth ounce, 1 ounce. But with that wider present, it makes it a slower moving spoon. It has the ability to fish very shallow water at slower speeds. When you throw a spoon out and you're retrieving it, what should the spoon look like?
It should look like a minnow, don't you think?
Should be wobbling.
Should be wobbly, yeah.
Should it be spinning?
No,
no. In order to catch the most fish with a Sprite or Eppinger style spoon, what you want to do is I got suppliers texting me and calling me all the time. And in today's world, if you want stuff, you better be Johnny on the spot. It should be wobbling side to side, but actually not rolling over. Your spoon should not twist your line up, but we all have the same flaw in our retrieve on a spoon. We cast it out. We get this beautiful wobble side to side, kind of flashing up, going down, flashing up, going down. And then when it gets close to us, we got to reel it in fast. And then it makes it spin. Well, when you spin the spoon, it spins your line up. So you brought up the point, what do you need with a spoon?
A swivel.
Yep.
Snap swivel.
A ball bearing snap swivel. Now, it's very important to get the ball bearing part on it, because without the ball bearing, swivels lock up with 1 ounce of pressure. If they're metal on metal, whether it's a barrel swivel or it's a import little tab swivel, they're not actually swivels. They're only swivels with no pressure on them. But metal on metal locks up. So if you got a ball bearing swivel, it will take 70, 80, 90% of your line twist keep it from happening. Doesn't actually take it out. It just actually keeps it from happening. But that's the biggest problem. Now, the reason it's a problem is when you start cranking real fast by the boat, up to the boat, the number one technique for catching fish with these is to do a little figure eight in the water before you lift the spoon out of the water. It is staggering how many fish literally hit right next to the darn boat because they're seeing it lifting up. But when you just reel it in, that fish could be right behind it or under it waiting, you know, and then all of a sudden you do this. As you bring it in, I swing it to the left, I come around to the right, bring it back around, and then take it out of the water. Shocking how many times at the end of that figure eight, bam, fish on, right next to the boat. You would think they wouldn't ever hit that close, but it's actually quite common. You ever do that?
I certainly have, and I've caught fish that way.
People don't believe it, but figure eight right before you take it out of the water. And you will see, I would say, anywhere from 10 to 20% increase in the fish you caught that day, just because you did that last little thing. So keep it wobbling all the way to the boat, and then figure eight, and you don't have to do two. Usually, if they're going to hit, they'll hit once during that full figure eight. Now, the figure eight is probably about 18 inches to the left, 12 inches out, and which means about 3 feet, because you're going to go about 18 inches past the center again. So it's about a 3 foot total by 18 inches figure eight. But it works. Catches fish. So now that we've figured out most of the spoons are the same, how does this one look? This is one from P-Line. Import swivel, modestly priced. Very similar, huh?
Well, its shape is significantly different. It's got a hump in it.
That's the cool part about that one.
It's got a big hump in it. It's got a swivel that's attached to it already. And you got a choice of a treble hook or a single hook on it. And it says it's a ball-bearing swivel. So P-Line's figured out that you can't use regular swivels with these.
Right.
So,
And
it's also got a line down the middle of it, you know, where it's been pressed in that direction. That line must be significant to the spoon at some point.
Yeah, I think it just changes the sound profile as it swims through the water.
Actually, this spoon has got two colors to it. It's painted on one side, and it's silver on the other. And that's what that line is.
Yeah, what it is you have different colors on one side than the other side. So as it's wobbling, it's creating a different presence each way it goes. Neither the Sprite nor the Daredevil have a split ring or a swivel attached. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I would think they would have it, because if you tied your leader to the P-line one, right to the swivel, you've got a good solid connection. You think the same thing can be said if you tie to an Eppinger or a Sprite, and let's say you've got 25-pound fluorocarbon leader. Is it a good idea to tie right to that spoon?
Well, you were saying that hole is done. They punch through it. It's not nice and.
It's not drilled.
It's not drilled. It's just a punch. And I'm going to figure you're going to lose fish and you're going to lose the lure too, right at the knot.
Because that punch always leaves a little bit of a burr or a sharp edge. So you get a big fish on, you get it under pressure, and the hole in your spoon is actually cutting through your leader.
Right. And even with all of that said, the tying information on the card shows them tying it directly to the spoon.
Yeah. It's something that if I own the spoon company and I didn't want to pay to put a swivel on it, because you got to put a split ring and a swivel on it, or just a split ring, I wouldn't want to have to pay for that, so I'm just going to tell people tie to it, because if it cuts through their line or their leader, they had a big fish on and they lost the lure, they got to buy another one. Mm-hmm. So it's self-fulfilling prophecy.
You had a big fish on.
Exactly.
Get another one, you'll get that big fish again.
So now you have, this is one I sell a lot of. This is the strobe spoon. Very similar, except a little bit different. It's more broad. The width is actually a bit more, which allows it to be able to swim slower in shallow water. This is a great spoon if you're fishing in less than 3 feet of water.
That's a really good point. The fatter the spoon, the slower you can reel it, and it still stay up in the water column without dragging along the bottom. Yeah, this stroke, you know, the adage is fat bottom girls make the world go round.
Yeah. That's the strobe spoon right there.
Yeah. And also it's got a pattern stamped into it.
And look at the price.
Yeah, not bad. It's like half the price of the other guys, even less than it.
What do I got that price at?
$289.
And how much is a Sprite?
And the Sprite is $369.
So,
and the Daredevil is $749.
Now, the one thing about it is the Daredevil's actually a U.S. product that's made in America. Sprite is not. The P-Line is not. The Strobe is not. And so you've got American-made products, so you're paying American workers, but it is a very, very good product. But the Strobe is one you can save some money on, fish shallow water with it, just like a Sprite or a Daredevil or the P-Line, and it's actually, you know, save you some money. And in today's world, people always say, you know, well, I'm going out for this or that. I say, buy the cheapest thing you can get. A strobe spoon really fits that bill good. Now, we've been talking quite a bit about those, but this is one that I use a lot in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, Castmaster, this is a copy of a Castmaster because it's an import, but it's a very good product. It's part of the Rapala family. What makes that interesting for out in the Gulf? Any idea?
Is that the pattern that's in it?
Sort of.
Well, certainly the shape. It's like you cut a stick on an
angle. If you had a steel cylinder and you were making diagonal slices through it to picture a loaf of bread that they were cutting, and then you tilted the blade way over to the side and you were making slits in it, that's kind of how they got that.
Yeah.
But what's cool about it and why I use it so much. I use that in the Atlantic. I use it in the Gulf because when fish are keyed in on the little anchovies, glass minnows, all this tiny little bait out there in the Gulf of Mexico, people always want to throw everything huge and big. But bonita, the little 12-pound tuna, don't have a big mouth. They're not as interested in a 8 or 10-inch. Let's say you got a 30-inch bonita or 30-inch tuna. He does not have a very large mouth for the size of the fish. And they like keying in on these small anchovies or glass minnows and stuff. Stuff that's an inch to 2 inches long, on the big side, 3 or 4 inches long. But they're rarely more than a half inch tall and so thin they're almost transparent. So this allows me a very heavy spoon that I can cast a long ways. And when it gets in the water, I'm going to reel it fast because if I don't, it's going to go right to the bottom. So I got to quickly reel it. And so a small shiny object whipping through the water seems like a glass minnow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you can throw these 2 or 3 times further than you can a standard spoon. There's almost no wind resistance to this. And it's, you know, it's heavy up front. I mean, it's like casting a sinker.
So that's one of the reasons it's one of my favorite. With a Johnson Sprite or Daredevil or the Strobe or any of these other ones, they're so wide, they're at least half the distance wide as they are long. And with this, it's so aerodynamic and the weight is so much heavier for the size of the metal. I get a much more cast out of it. And when I'm fishing these guys, if I get a school of bonita blowing up and blitzing and they're boiling the water, literally frothing it, a lot of times what I want to do is try and cast sort of at the side of it, let it go, cast beyond the school, and then I let it sink for 5 or 10 seconds to try and get under that blitzing school of fish, because a lot of times that's where the blackfin tuna are, under that school of bonita. Now, I love catching bonita, but if I can get a tuna, which fights just as hard, but tastes tremendously better.
Different. Yes.
Okay? So that's how I do those. Now, this is one that I like a lot. It's a crocodile spoon. What's the first thing you notice in the package? Oh, this is tough. See, I spring these on RJ. This is not pre-done. We don't script the show out.
Well, you know, it's got a teaser. It's a long, skinny spoon with a big hump in it.
Great deep water spoon. Yeah. Now, this crocodile, once you're in 4 feet of water or less, you got to reel it really fast in order for it not to go to the bottom. But if you're in over 4 feet of water, this actually becomes a very good spoon, shaped like a glass minnow, but there's something in the package you missed. Look close by the hook.
Oh, it's got a second hook up in front that was hidden underneath.
So it comes with a single hook and a treble hook.
A treble hook, yes.
Now, and I don't think the single hook's attached to the front, is it?
No,
it's just in there. So they're giving you the option of having a treble hook on the back of this or a single hook on the back of it.
It also has a swivel attached to it.
And so they did a good job with this. Now, you brought up a great point here, which I literally never thought of till this moment. We have these little odd moments in this show every once in a while. And if you're listening, these are the best bits. Why couldn't you put that single hook on the front? When we do those vertical jigging, the speed jigs and all that, we have the hook hanging in the center of the jig. Why wouldn't it work on a spoon? I bet you it would. I bet you could put that single hook right off the front split ring.
That's right. If you're jigging, you know, over a reef.
Or even casting it.
And even casting it, yeah.
Because when they come up to hit, they're biting some point of the spoon, but now you got a double shot.
Yeah. Well, you know, and there's times where a fish will hit the front end of the spoon and you still won't hook them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it bounces right off their mouth. That would certainly put an end to that game.
I don't know why. I've never thought about doubling it up. I've always thought about, okay, what's nice about this is you can throw it with a treble hook, or if you want to use a single hook, we don't like dealing with a treble hook, put single hook on. But I never thought that you could probably either run the single hook on the front split ring without the treble hook, or you could run them both at the same time.
Yeah, I would run them both at the same time. especially if you were jigging this lure.
Now, that's a crocodile spoon, yeah. And they come in a ton of different sizes, different colors. A lot of them have that tape with the holographic flashing stuff in them. But it's a very good spoon. But I actually, if I was in deeper water, like the middle of the harbor or out in the Gulf of Mexico, that would be a go-to spoon. But if I was back looking for trout, redfish, snook on the flats, that wouldn't be one I would choose.
Yeah, it'll go straight to the bottom, like you said.
You got to reel so fast, it's only going to work when the water's in that perfect mid-70s temperature, not too hot, not too cold. If you got a Goldilocks day going on where everything's perfect, you can throw that, rip it back into the boat, you know, cast it, retrieve it very quickly, and it'll catch fish.
Well, you know, you got the fast fish in the deeper water. You got mackerel and things like that, kings. Those fish are moving along at a pretty good speed, bonita, small tuna. So that's why this would work. When you get inshore and in shallow water, you got snook that, you know, they'll ambush, but they're not moving all that much. Redfish certainly aren't going to ambush it.
It's an instinctive
trout, maybe trout, but probably not. You know, trout's looking to conserve his energy too. He's not gonna
well when that water's in that perfect Goldilocks temperature. They see it, go strike it.
Yeah.
Now, humans tend to have a little bit of that too. You know, you're going somewhere like the reason food sells so well at festivals and carnivals is because you're walking by, you look, oh, wow, that looks good. And you weren't really that hungry, but you saw it and went, oh, wow, I think let me go and get some of that.
Yeah.
And the most successful food vendors at festivals, carnivals, boat shows, are the ones who display their food. If you've got the food on display where people can walk by and see it, now that triggers the brain, and all of a sudden you're starting running saliva and all this. Smell is a very good thing. That's probably number one. But people discount. Look at how much people spend on advertising on TV. They use motor oil on pancakes, you know, to get the look of that wonderful syrupy stuff coming off. And that's actually like 30 weight motor oil. It's not
right.
Aunt Jemima pancake syrup.
It's too thin.
It won't do what they want it to do. So they'll use like 30, 50 weight motor oil. They pour that on the pancake and it looks so wonderful coming down. So when you're thinking about how much, I mean, all the different stuff they do to the burgers, the pancakes, everything on TV to get you to eat it. And then you think about what does a spoon do? Same thing. Gets the fish to go, oh, wow, what's that? Well, hey, I want to eat that. It's number one thing is the glint, the flash, the instinctive, hey, I'm hungry, let's go.
Right, and also as these spoons wobble through the water, they make noise.
They make a terrific sound in the water. But their primary strike is a reactionary, oh, that looks good, let me go get it. Same as why you buy extra stuff if a food vendor has it out on display. Because you're smelling it from way back and all that, but you don't really know which one is creating the smells. And then you see it.
Yeah, go over to somebody's house that's got the wax apples and the wax pears in the bowl on the table, and what do you want? Geez, I think I could go for a pear right now.
Never thought of that, but a great point. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So spoon's primary function is to get that sight, you know, reaction out of them. That flash, that glint, the sound is absolutely but it's one where sound is number two, sight is number one. But there is a different spoon. This is the minnow style. Now, I don't know why you have the Sprite style, then you have the minnow style. And the minnow style is the weedless one. It has a single hook, not a treble hook. And the number one thing about it is, what's the main difference between that and a Sprite? And it's actually not a big difference, but the end on these are always smaller. The nose And then you have a big butt on them. Like you say, I like big butts and I cannot why. There's where the bigger butt comes in. That back section really creates a lot of wobble, a lot of flash. But you can drag these on the bottom. You can swim them through the water. But again, they're not meant to spin over and over and over again.
Right.
They're literally made to wobble.
They're meant to wobble and kind of float along on their backs as they're coming back towards you. I'm holding the Johnson Silver Minnow in my hand. I have caught more fish in my lifetime of every species you could think of with a Johnson Silver Minnow with some kind of teaser attached to that back.
Great point, because that's what we're going to get to. What are the other two we've got there?
We have a wreck spoon.
Yeah.
Which is similar, but it looks like that hook can actually move around a little bit in the back. It's got a groove. And we got another wreck spoon with a...
Well, those two are made in the U.S.
Yeah,
with
a feather attached to it.
The feather attachment is, like you were talking about with a teaser, the Sprite comes plain. Mm-hmm. You have a spoon with a single hook welded to it, right?
Yes.
So that's it. That's what you get. But on the Eppingers, the one you have there, there's a screw in them, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can replace that hook with other hooks, so it's changeable, so that slot you're seeing in the back is literally...
So you can pull the eyelet through.
So you can change the hooks on those. But it's funny. Now, the Sprite pretty much thinks it's good enough on its own. But as an added allure to the Eppingers, they put bucktail on them, deer hair. That's your teaser, right?
Yeah.
So if you're throwing a Johnson Minnow, now this is a skirt from a spinnerbait.
I see where you're going with that.
Remember when we were starting talking about spoons, you were talking about skirts, and you would take the skirt off, flip it around and put it on so you would get more bulk to the a bigger presence. And that's what you would do to different poppers and spinners and all that. But you can take that skirt from the spinnerbait and put it right on the hook of the Johnson Sprite.
On the Johnson Sprite you're talking
about. Not the Sprite, the minnow.
The Silver Minnow is a good lure, but it doesn't work as well on its own. Without something on it,
so
you can hook a worm to it, you know, a rubber worm, Mr. Twister paddle tails, and things.
No, those aren't paddle tails.
Curly tails. Yeah.
That's the one thing I wanted to talk about, because people think a paddle tail would be good on a spoon, and we find that it's nowhere near as effective as a curl tail. Or even just a long, skinny, tapered tail like a mirror lure, Little John, or just a regular jerkbait. When you put a paddle tail on a spoon, that tail's trying to go up and down and sideways and all that, and it's just not as effective. For some reason, the curl tails, larger, smaller, and to put it on the spoon, all I do is take the curl tail and you find the top. You've got the thick rib part on the front of it. Then it goes down to a very thin tail that curls around. That's why we call them curl tails, sickle tails. Has a sickle-like appearance, like sickle, like you're mowing wheat with a blade. But that sickle tail, curl tail, it pulses almost straight back. It doesn't try to wiggle side to side as much. And you get this pulsing sound out of it. You get a lot of more visual effect out of it because that tail's – it's trying to be curled front, but the water's taking it to the back. And it always wants to try and curl back, so it's going back and forth, creating a tremendous amount of noise but at a higher pitch level. But it really seems to enhance the activity of a spoon rather than detract from it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Also, a curl tail, if there's even the slightest bit of movement in the water moving, and so you drop your silver minnow to the bottom for a second or two, that tail keeps moving with a little bit of current going by it. So there's that live motion as it sits.
That's probably one of the best points that people forget. that when you let a lure go to the bottom, and the nice thing about the minnow styles versus the single hook versus the treble hook style is with a single hook spoon, and I'm fishing on the grass flats, and or if I'm fishing up north on something, you know, a lake or whatever else, I can let that spoon go right to the bottom.
It'll always land on its back.
It lands on the spoon side because that's the heavier part, and now it's just laying there. But like you say, whenever you picture a bait fish that's dying, and he kind of wiggles around, and then he's sinking to the bottom, kind of hanging out still, wiggles around, going up, then slowly goes back to the bottom. When he's laying on the bottom, you get these little kicks of the tail and the fins and stuff, and it's slight, but it's very real. That's exactly what you're describing when you talk about that spoon going to the bottom, that curl tail or other type is still moving.
Yeah, I've always liked the curl tail. That's usually my go-to for sticking on the end of anything or even just fishing with a jig.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the curl tail does more for you.
No, I'm all on your side of that. Now, so you can put bucktails on the back of a spoon, treble hook, single hook, curl tails on there. I don't really recommend the paddle tails. That's the one thing I don't put on there. But almost any other type of soft plastic, ribbons, good God, plastic teasers, just so many different things you can do off to add to a spoon.
Right.
It's crazy.
And it gives you the ability. You've got the spoon tied on. You may not be getting any hits. You pull off the teaser and put a different teaser on. You don't have to take the lure off and try something else completely different.
I handed you that, and that's
the pet spoon
Lure Jensen, because we forgot the number one thing you add to a spoon.
It's the feather.
Yeah. The feather is the number one thing most added to a spoon. Now, before I move on to our next subject, grab one of the Eppingers, right, the minnow styles, and what you can do, and it can be a sprite or a minnow, but the Eppinger where the hook comes off, the single hook Eppinger lures that the hook will come off, and then the sprite or any of the other spoons. But when you're looking at a spoon with a single hook, that's removable, or a treble hook lure that has a hole at each end, because you're going to tie your line to one end and your hook to the other end, people forget you can reverse them. You can take a Johnson Sprite and the Sprite-style treble hook, take the treble hook off, put it on the thin end of the spoon, tie your line to the thick end. Now that creates more float, more lift.
Yeah, there's a lot more resistance to pulling the fat part first than the skinny part first.
You do the same thing with the single hook spoons that you have. You can't do it to a Johnson Minnow because it's welded in place. But those Eppingers, I can actually take that spoon off, right, use that end to tie my line to, and put a treble hook or a single hook off the back of that. It will make it swim shallower at slower speeds.
Yeah, no, without a doubt, that lure, when you do it backwards like that, really wants to stay closer to the top, even when you're luring it slowly, reeling it in slowly.
My favorite flats lure for years was the hobo spoon. And the hobo was done that way. The big end was at the front. The skinny end was at the back. Had a tremendous swimming action. It was awesome. I caught so many fish with it. Gold with the red feather and gold with the yellow feather. Those were the two. I caught so many fish with those. It's one of those, when they discontinued them, I about cried.
Yeah.
Because that was such a good lure. And because it didn't look right, people didn't want to buy it. It wasn't like the other spoons they saw. So it went against their grain to buy it. Now, just to let you know, so you can run a spoon either end. You don't have to do it the way they tell you. You can, goes back to what I said, once you know how to do it right and get it very correct, then the challenge is, how do you screw it up and make it even better?
Yes.
to rig it some other way the fish aren't used to seeing that other people don't do. I put jigs and paddle tails sideways, upside down. I don't put it far enough onto the jig head. I put it too far on the jig head, so it's got a little curl to it. Mixing and matching how I do it is a big thing. We only got a few minutes left, so I want to get on to the last bit. And we've talked about everything. You can do spoons, which are wonderful. Everything, every fish almost, very few exceptions, don't eat a spoon, whether it's a big one or a small one. Freshwater, saltwater, spoons are excellent bait. And then you can add so much stuff to them. Feathers and all this other stuff, plastics. Now, can you add a spoon to something else? This is one, hyperelastic stuff. It's one of Patrick's lures. What is that primarily? Like a worm, right?
It is. It's a worm.
Could be, if you were thinking in saltwater terms, some type of eel. Now, here's the one thing people don't understand because they think of blades. And a spoon is just a blade. That actually has a spinner blade attached to it. I think that's an Indiana style, might be a Colorado, but it's rounder, so it creates a very loud thump in the water. That round is...
Yeah, it looks like a teardrop.
Yeah. But here's where you'll see the difference. Now, this is a jig. And it's got a jig head with a skirt on it, and then a piece of wire to attach two spoons to the top of it.
Yeah.
And they're actually two spoons. One's round, one's long and narrow. So we're going to call one an Indiana blade, one a Colorado blade, or a willow blade, rather.
Yeah.
So we got a willow blade that's shaped like a willow leaf. That's why they got their name. But we call that a spinner bait.
Yeah, and a lot of bass have been caught on these.
I've caught saltwater fish, freshwater fish on them. You have a jig, a plastic skirted jig, with two spoons attached.
Well, I know you're making your own group of minnows with that as it's going along. You got several, and you know, as those spoons are flashing, it could be three, four, five fish in a group.
See, but nobody associates that a jig with spoons attached.
Yeah.
So they added spoons to a jig to create spinnerbaits, the most famous which is this one.
The beetle spin.
The most famous jig with a spoon attached. Now, we think of it as a spinner blade, but it's actually a spoon.
Yeah, it's just a spoon that's letting itself waggle around,
yeah,
without being pulled in any particular direction.
And because it's round, it gives off a very concussive boom, 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 boom. You can feel it when you reel it in. Now, the more elongated the spoon or willow style, you don't feel it as much. A whole different sound pitch, a whole different tenor to it. But this is like basically like one of the lower drums on a drum set. Be like the kick pedal or the tom-tom was the word I'm looking for. So you hear it going bump, 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 bump. But it's not like a cymbal noise. This is very, very concussive. Now, this one's different. That was the beetle spin.
Oh, and this is the Johnson minnow spin. So it's a minnow-shaped spoon, or minnow-shaped something, with a willow-type spinner on the front end of it.
Kind of like you would think of with a MEPS.
Yes.
MEPS is the most famous one of those in the world, little spinner baits.
Yeah.
Now, they use a willow on there because it's a higher-pitched tone. But it's a spoon added to a little stick bait. We call it an inline spinner, but technically that's a spoon.
Yep.
Now, these are the jerk baits have become a very big thing lately. They call them flukes, jerk baits, all these different things. But Patrick decided on the Hyperelastic series. Now, these are those kind of plastic you can pull out 3 feet long and it comes back, doesn't tear apart. So the spoons actually stay in. But he's got a set of spoons attached to a jerkbait. Now, you get a little flash off them. Maybe. What color are those?
He's got a yellowish, greenish color.
So you got chartreuse there. Mm. And
ooh, that's one of them big words.
Yeah, chartreuse. So if it ain't chartreuse, it ain't no use.
Right.
You know, people are either big on that color where it's the only thing that works, where they don't want to use it at all. But that's kind of an awesome thing. Now, remember the beetle spin, right? You got the beetle spin sitting there. So you got a little jig with a couple little tails on it, make a little bit of thing. But then you got a wire attaching a spinner to it. So what's this? Redfish Magic.
Redfish Magic spinner bait. Well, it's got a gold spoon on it.
And
we know that redfish like gold.
But what's it identical to for 80, 90%? A beetle spin.
A beetle spin. It's just a different beetle spin.
It's a bigger beetle spin is what it is.
Yeah.
And you know what's really funny about that? It has a paddle tail shad bottom. You've got the round spinner blade on top, or spoon, however you want to look at it.
Yeah.
Got the minnow paddle tail on the bottom. Now, what's funny is if you took that paddle tail off and put a tube bait on there, and a tube bait looks like a squid, you will actually catch, from my experience, 2 to 5 times more fish. The paddle tail is one of the worst ones, in my opinion, to add to a spinner bait or spoon attachment. They don't seem to work as well. Why is it a paddle tail? And the company knows this. I know this. I mean, I'm very good friends with those people. Because it won't sell without a paddle tail.
Oh, my. Well, we talked about that once before on another show. We said a lot of these lures are designed to hook fishermen and not necessarily hook fish.
This is the best example of one designed to catch fishermen, not fish.
Yeah.
Because I can rig that up with a different type of soft plastic, and it becomes a very effective bait. But if I put that on the wall, and from personal experience, no one will buy it. No matter what I tell them, you know, or how much experience I have, they're not going to buy it. The other one from Hyperlastic, that worm one, very good cobia lure, by the way.
Yes, yes, without a doubt. Cobia love long, skinny things like that.
This is my favorite one where somebody's added a spoon or slash spinner blade to it.
This is the Freedom Mischief, you know. And on the,
it's a topwater walk the dog or reel in bait, but it's topwater.
Right around where the anal vent would be on a minnow, they've attached a spoon.
Little spinner blade,
yep.
Round one, lots of thumb. And because of the price, I didn't really sell a lot of them. I think they're like $13.
Yeah.
But everybody else is catching up to that price, so it's not going to be a big deal in a while. But what's amazing about that, it actually works. People have been catching really good fish with that topwater. I said, guys, could you please put a lip on one so it would work underwater as well? But anyway, I think we're about out of time. Are we out of time?
Well, you can hear the music, right?
No, I can't yet. Oh, now I can hear the music. You forget I'm deaf.
That's right.
I actually bought a hearing aid.
No kidding.
Well, I actually didn't. My sister bought one for me. She's tired of it. No, I'm not going
to
put a blade or a paddle tail on it. But hopefully you guys learned a little something this week. Fish and Frank here, RJ over there, our commander in control of the whole world. Thanks for listening. Talk to you later. Bye. I'm going fish, 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 fishing. I'm going fishing, hook, sinker, and line. I said,